Leora, I'm always shocked at just how good your voice really is. It's like, it's always like, it's so good, it's surprising. And it's such like a gift to have you up here and the harmonies that you're making with Chaim Design Basia, who designed those harmonies, and to have Avi and to have Shai here. It's just always such a tremendous blessing. The kind of music and davening that we're able to be here. I mean, it's so beautiful and it's so sincere, and it's my favorite thing. So I just want to say thank you. When I was still a student, I was very close with, I was working at UCLA, I was close with an Orthodox couple that was there, and the Rebbetzin was a very wise woman, excellent pastor. She was a social worker, very skilled. And she taught me, really, I think the most important lesson I'd ever heard about what it meant to be a person of spirit when people are struggling. And it was from the beginning of this week's Parsha. The whole story goes like this. Avram has just performed a circumcision on himself. Okay, so there's that. And he's sitting there in a place called Mamre under these oak trees, and he's recuperating. And she said to me, Scott, basically everything that you need to know is contained in the first three words of the Parsha. Vayera alav Hashem. God shows up to him, to Avram. And she says, more than skill is presence. More than knowing how to say the right thing or to do the right thing or to have the right answer is first you have to show up fully as yourself. She's like, you get that, everything else will follow. And it's true, by the way, that this is the place in the Torah that we learn about the mitzvah of visiting the sick, of bikur cholim. That it's actually an affirmative commandment that if someone's ill, you have to show up in person to visit and to be with them. From here, because God visits Avram. Where do we learn to be human? From God. It turns out that God's superpower is showing up and being present. And when I was putting this parsha together, one of the things that occurred to me is that the Torah is sort of a conglomeration of moments where God really shows up and where God's not present at all. And because, by the way, the Midrash teaches that God's blessing, God's gift, is actually to be there in the most important moments. Midrash teaches, who is God? God is one who is mevarech hatanim, to give blessing to the grooms, and mikashet kalot, and to adorn the brides, to visit the sick, and to bury the dead. Right there in times of war, and there in times of praying, that maybe there's a lesson to be taken actually from the places in the Torah where the Holy One is conspicuously absent. Maybe it's not an accident. Maybe it's not somehow a coincidence. Maybe there's a message that we're supposed to take, understanding that we're supposed to glean from the stories in which God isn't, and they're famous ones. In the garden, the whole business with the snake. Oops. And when Cain stood up and killed his brother Abel, that unfortunate incident with the golden calf and the whole deal. And when the Amalekites, Amalek, came and attacked our people from the rear, slaughtering the elderly and the children. When the spies came back and said, it's a beautiful land, but we can't take it, and there was almost a riot. All of these places are places where God isn't, except, by the way, at the very end. In all of those stories, the truth of it is that God isn't there, and all of a sudden God is there and shows up, and then it's time to face the music, as it were. And so what's the tie that binds all of those different stories together? What's the thread that ties, that sews all of those incidents together? It's that in each of those places, all you really see is the Yetzer Hara. How do I translate the Yetzer Hara? The Yetzer Hara is if you have to say you human nature and you mean it as an insult, that's Yetzer Hara. A Yetzer Hara Dika kind of a thing is the kind of thing that you're like, you're a little ashamed that this is what we do. And the truth is that if you look through the Torah at the various places, at those various spaces, when the Yetzer Hara, when the inclination to do wrong, to do bad is fully on display, there God is not. What are we supposed to take from this? Harvey asked me, where are you, Harvey? Harvey asked me, Rabbi, where is God when the Jews are threatened? And he said, it'll be a good sermon topic. And this is what I knew I had to teach you, Harvey, to teach tonight. Where is God? I think God is all over this world, and God is all over this conflict. I know it's a war, and I know it's ugly, but in so many moments, I have felt the presence of the Holy One. And I'm not talking about in the moments, right, that are actually breaking our hearts. I'm talking when people send floods of support to the families of the captives, and when people are trying to rebuild, and when soldiers are trying to be brave and to do the right thing, and when people who aren't soldiers are trying to be brave and do the right thing, and when people are standing up for civilians, and when people are coming together to soothe and heal the hearts that ache, and when there are brief moments of reconciliation, of peace, I see God everywhere in this moment. Except for the conspicuous places where the Holy One is not. So my friend Simon File, Roman with Brooklyn partner, sent me a photo on Thursday, and it was a lamppost in Park Slope. Most of us have seen the flyers that have been sent out of the 200-some captives that we are praying for, and along with a number of the dead. They're very distinctive. A red border, stark block letters, a picture of them in life. And they've been posted all over the world. What he showed me, though, on this lamppost was the exact same red poster, the exact same block print, but instead there were pictures of Palestinians who'd been killed, and it said at the bottom, killed by Israeli terror, kidnapped by Israeli terror. And when I saw them, I got very upset. Very upset. And I had to ask myself, why am I getting upset right now? These people did die. They were killed in the conflicts. Their lives matter. They matter. What is it about the fact that it's sort of on the same print and the same sheet that's making me really upset right now? Why do I think that there's something kind of gross about this? And I realized that what it was that I think that the intention, by putting them in the same font, in the same way, it was a way of saying, like, you know, the people that you're praying for, the dead that you've lost, they don't matter. It's not nearly as real as our loss. It's a way of trying to erase what sits on our heart on a regular basis. And it didn't help that there was a Jewish star dipped in blood on the paintings themselves. That's Yetzer Hara. There's worse, though. You know, there were settlers, people who came and shot live rounds at actual human beings in the West Bank. That's Yetzer Hara. In Dagestan, people heard about this. There was a false rumor that they were resettling Jewish refugees, right? And there was essentially a pogrom. They were stopping people in the street to demand their their ID papers to see if they were Jewish. That's Yetzer Hara. What happened at Cornell with those messages threatening Jewish students? That's Yetzer Hara. It's not good stuff. And what's our impulse in those moments? What's the impulse in that moment? Right? To rush in, to fight, to respond, to rip down flyers and put up our own, to yell at the people, right? To stand up, to do what's right. But I'm not sure that that's exactly what it is that we should be doing. I wonder if the Torah is actually telling us something different. And the question for me, the question that I want to ask you is this. If you feel God's absence in a given moment, in a given situation, if you feel the sort of grossness that comes with the Yetzer Hara and that the divine essence is not there, should you be there? If God has chosen to, like, not participate, is your participation necessary? Let me tell you what I mean by this. Who is currently involved in a social media war at this moment? You don't have to raise your hand. It's an internal poll. Yeah. That's my way. Are you getting into it with people online? Some are, some not, some yes, some no, something like that. How do you feel afterwards? Like hell, right? It's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence, right? There's something about provocation and then reprovocation and then provocation after that, that what it does is it just exacerbates the absence of divine presence in any given situation. And if you have a sense that when you are stepping into the fray, actually what's happening right now is that you're just reacting and continuing in a chain of reaction, like a chain reaction that's going to make things work, don't do it. And not least, by the way, because some of these situations are not always what they seem. Does anybody know who sent the messages at Cornell? Anybody?
Yeah.
Asian American student named Darren Pei, who is currently going through a mental health breakdown. He is in jail, but he had been hospitalized multiple times. His parents couldn't reach him. He was essentially having some sort of a psychotic episode. He has no connection to the conflict whatsoever. He was the one who sent those messages. It wasn't Palestinians. It wasn't Arabs, right? It wasn't the things that we fear. It was some guy that no one had ever connected to the conflict. That was the source of the Yetzer Hara in this particular moment. How do you solve for that? I don't know. But it's probably not by ratcheting up the tension with the Arab students on campus. There is another option and another way. I think that you and I should seek out the places where we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that's where we need to put our effort, and that's where we need to put our energy, and the only way to do it is through your God-given intuition. You know, there's a guy I know. He's a soldier in the Israeli army. He's a proud Zionist. And you know what he does? He walks with Palestinians to their olive groves when they're harvesting, because they're less likely to be attacked when he's walking. That's all he does. He just walks with them and walks back. That's a holy thing to do. And you know what? There are people, by the way, who are not exactly involved in the social media wars, but actually who are putting into words why things like Zionism and Israel and a Jewish homeland matter to them. My wife's been playing Noah Tishby's book in the kitchen as we've been cooking. That's a holy thing to do. Write that op-ed. Find the words. And there are even people who are connecting and reaching out across a great deal of distance. In Kibbutz Hanaton in the north of Israel right now, there Chaviva Ner David, who's a teacher that many people connect with, right? There's a war going on, but there's a bunch of Israeli and Arab villages right next to each other, and they just had a moment, they had a celebration of being good neighbors with each other. There are places where God resides in this world in every moment, in every second. Don't go to the places where God isn't. Find the places where God is. It's a sign. It's a message. If you can feel a holy presence in that moment, and sometimes, by the way, that's a difficult thing to do. It's a hard thing to do. The Torah says that Hashem is Ish Milchama, a soldier, a warrior. Like the Egyptian army was drowned in the sea. I'm not making sort of the rules for where God is and where God isn't, but nonetheless, I think that deep in your heart, you know. Where is God when the Jews are threatened, Harvey? Here, if we can find her. So rather than allowing yourself to be drawn again and again and again into the kind of Yetzer Haradic reactions that make the world a less pleasant, a more difficult place to live, find the glimmers of light and spirit where God resides, and then go do that thing. And I'll tell you, by the way, in the weeks to come, we reached out. There's a benefit at the Romu Mothership tomorrow night for the families of the captives and the kidnapped. We got their names, not the captives, the family names. And we're going to write letters to them. You want to find where God is? God should be comforting them. You want to write with me? We should do that. even in this moment, especially in this moment, there are opportunities to find the footprints of the Holy One everywhere. Who knows? Maybe it'll do something good for this world. Shabbat shalom.